Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey there, if you're listening to this and you support us on Patreon, you can hear it via the Patreon page ad-free.
So now, ladies and gentlemen, it is start time. Are you ready for start time?
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and this week we'll be talking with Alicia Gaines, the vocalist and bassist of one of our favorite Chicago bands, Ganzer. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. But first, we share some buried treasures, new under-the-radar music you need to hear. You know, Jim, we do these segments fairly regularly on the show. There's so much great music out there that we can't get to in the regular reviews sections of our shows.
Right.
So we were able to collect a lot of music. And, you know, both of us are looking for stuff that's generally not reviewed everywhere else.
Couple and of blogs, isn't maybe, a, here and
you
there.
You know, it's not a Taylor Swift level type of thing.
Well, now, let me tell you, this is a testament to our audience, Greg. I will share a little behind-the-scenes producer knowledge. These are among our most streamed favorite episodes. So our audience comes with us on this journey of discovery.
That's what we're in it for. And, you know, people say, how do you find this stuff? And, you know, to me, word of mouth is the best critic there is. I mean, if somebody, a friend that you trust in music or somebody that you know listens to a lot of music says, hey, you really got to check this out. That word is golden for me. I'm going to check it out.
You well, know? I didn't follow that methodology. I agree with you for the most part. I didn't follow that method this time, though. I strictly went to the stack of vinyl that had collected over the last couple of months.
Uh-huh.
Having, you know, with my punk band, just put out a vinyl album. You know, the pain in the neck of Stan. It took me 40 minutes in the post office to send a vinyl copy to Serbia. And I figured, you know, if this writer in Serbia really wants to hear this, I'm going to do it. But it was like, that was like, you know, a chunk of my day.
Yeah.
Right? And I want you artists to know that I understand the sacrifice. I mean, first of all, there's a 9-month to year long wait right now to get vinyl from the pressing plants.
Yeah.
An email with a link, you know, it costs zero money, right? But this is like, they wanted us to have this music.
Yeah.
But you're leading us off.
I am. I'm not going to play a full-length album. I'm going to play one of the six songs on an EP by an artist named Susan Vells. The EP is called Trust the Waves Will Hold You. If you pay attention to liner notes on records, you're going to see Susan Vells' name around. She's been around for decades.
Yes.
Key member of Poi Dog Pondering for years and years. Alejandro Escovedo.
Yeah.
Played with Susan on many of his projects. Mellencamp, you know, he loves his violin players. He loves to have a little violin in the
you
band.
You want a violin, you want a fiddle, you
who
call
you gonna,
Susan
who
if
you
you're lucky.
To call? Exactly. So she has been stockpiling music over the years for a project. She doesn't release a ton of music under her own name, but when she does, you know it's going to be good, and this is no exception. This particular EP is drawn from unreleased tracks that she recorded with Poi Dog circa 2000 and polished up during the recent pandemic lockdown. I mean, you know, what else he got to do, right? Except look back at the archives, see what I've got in there. And here we have them. Her music, to me, has a feel like it could be a movie or a, you know, a soundtrack to a movie. Beautifully orchestrated track, sort of an epic feel. The track I'm going to play sort of illustrates that idea. It's called Oyster from Susan Bell's On Sound of Music. That is Oyster from the new Susan Bell's EP, Trust the Waves Will Hold You.
Well, all right, my first 12-inch LP that I'm going to dive into is a group called Fruit Juice, and it's kind of a concept psychedelic pop, a little bit of progressive rock album called Merk, M-I-R-K-E, versus the Dreamy LLC. Five or six piece, depending on the number of guests. Combo from Seattle. Put the needle down, right? Mm-hmm. See what I'm going to hear. And I'm like, ooh, this is good, right? And then I find their simple, maybe six-sentence bio on Bandcamp. And it says, we were trying to do something with a wide-eyed alien come human perspective, accentuated by a backdrop of ear-catching odd pop as defined by the likes of Kate Bush of Montreal or Brian Eno. I was like, oh, I knew I liked this. That's why I like this. Mm-hmm. All right. Apparently, this is their second album, Fruit Juice from Seattle. This is a track called I Don't Know. I don't know. By Fruit Juice.
I don't know.
You hear the Eno?
Yeah, I do. I mean, the androgynous vocals, you know, I like that. And the poppy electro vibe. You know, it's not a straight ahead electronic track. It's not a straight ahead novelty track. It's, you know, it's got all these different elements.
Blurring these lines, cool. in no way slavishly imitative. What's your next one?
I'm going to go to a band called Stuck, a Chicago group, quartet. I have not gotten a chance to see them, maybe because I think they started really putting music out as COVID was, you know, enveloping us, and you couldn't see bands live. But they're in that pocket of a lot of cool Chicago bands, a real tradition of that dissonance, noise, post-punk riffs meets melody. You know, they'd like to bring those two things together. It's not a particularly original approach, but I do love it when it's done well. And this band, it does it very well. And then on this most recent single that I'm going to play, they're matching themselves up with Miranda Winters, who's the lead vocalist in one of my favorite bands in Chicago of the last decade, Milk Belly. She is a master of putting the little bit of sweetening on top of the noise, on top of the mayhem. Here you go. Do Not Reply is the name of the track from Stuck, collaborating with Miranda Winters on SoundCloud. That is Do Not Reply. Stuck meets Miranda Winters of Milk Belly, and voila, you've got something pretty cool.
All right, so I'm going to make you super jealous now. Look at this record. Katie Kim's Hour of the Ox. All right?
Oh, that's cool.
Really beautiful. This came to me from Dublin. Well, wow. I should say it came to us, and I stole it since the mailing address is mine. Katie's a multi-instrumentalist based in Dublin, really talented songwriter, lush strings, orchestras of synthesizer, minimal but spirited live drumming. You know, the minute I put the needle down, right, this grabbed me. And then Katie in Dublin, sat down, and on the scrappiest piece of notebook paper ever, wrote us this letter. Dear Jim and Greg, during the writing and arranging process of this album, I was inexplicably preoccupied with cattle, oxen, bulls, and buffalo. Again, we have an ox, I think. Hour of the Ox is the name of the album. The ox
some
is on
impressive
the cover.
Horns there, yeah.
Horned ox. I still don't know why. Then I came across the Japanese method of laying a curse upon a target called Ushi no Koko Mari, the ox hour. It originated during the Edo period in the 1603s. Practitioner. This piece of writing is as great as the album, and the album is great. The practitioner, a woman mostly, scorned, would wear white crowned with an iron ring holding three candles and nail a straw effigy to a sacred tree between 1 and 3 a.m. I found this fascinating, but ultimately slightly curious after being so consumed by images of the ox. Anyway, I ramble. I hope you like the record. I love the record, Katie. This is fantastic. Her sixth full-length album. I think she's truly a unique artist, but I do hear a little bit of Kate Bush. I mean, when we're trying to throw out comparisons, right? A little Kate Bush, a little Brian Eno, whatever. It's just to give people a handle on, not saying it's imitative at all. This is a track called Eraser from Hour of the Ox by Katie Kim. By Katie Kim. You want to arm wrestle me for this vinyl?
No, I'm jealous.
I have to haul the mail.
That is my favorite track that you're going to play today.
Yeah, isn't it?
The string arrangement is beautiful over that strum of the guitar. And then the voice, you mentioned Kate Bush. I was hearing the creepiest level Tori Amos type
stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Like when she gets really like, you know, she's almost whispering into the microphone.
And it's something I really shouldn't share.
Yeah, exactly. And I just thought it was wonderful.
We're going to turn now to our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo, who had like many people's favorites the last time around. And I think she really delivered this time too.
My buried treasure pick this time around is going to be an album that I think everyone listening should definitely check out. If you like artists like Lucy Dacus or Barty Strange, this is definitely right up your alley. It's the album called Stay Proud of Me from the artist Noso. And they're actually from the Chicago suburbs and eventually moved to California in their teen years. And we're around the same age, and I always find it really cool when someone my age is making really good music. It's their debut album, so I feel like it can only go up from here, and they're gonna do a lot of great things for the indie alt genre. The album itself covers topics such as what it feels like to be loved, what it feels like to be perceived as an Asian American, and lastly, what it feels like to be gender nonconforming, which I personally find really comforting. The track I'm gonna play is called Suburbia by the artist Noso on Sound Opinions. How you live without me?
Love the Katie Kim pick, Greg. I love this. I think my favorite that wasn't one of my own was this pick from Sol. I just know so. Wow. I'm glad I've been introduced.
Yeah, that was a cool track. I love the mix of the breeziness and the melody and that sort of melancholic mood that it struck.
Yeah.
Nice combination of flavors there. Great job on that, Sol. Coming up, Jim and I share some more of our buried treasures. Plus, we hear from our other producers, Andrew and Alex, on Sound Opinions. Power.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. You know, every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, you know, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island, so we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, Lemonade Shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. And we are back. This week, we're sharing some buried treasures, new under-the-radar songs we think you need to hear. Next up is our senior producer, Andrew Gill, who's feeling rotten. He's got a young son, and they're just germ incubators. But under the weather, despite that, he's here with us. Andrew, what have you got for us?
Yeah, I've got a kind of weird pick this time. I chose the band Soul Glow, a hardcore band out of Philadelphia. And if you guys know me, you know that hardcore is not really usually my genre.
I was going to ask.
I was shocked.
aside from having some seasonal bug, are you okay? this is like angry Jim DeRogatis, flamethrower pick, man.
Well, my friend John Potter sent me this a few weeks ago, and I listened to it and was like, wow, this has got some real life to it. You know, it's got some real energy. You can't really look away when you're listening to it. I'm not going to say it's my favorite music, but it's got this power and life, and the perspective is just so unique. You know, I just wanted people to know about it. So, you know, if you're a hardcore fan, you probably already know about this band because they are kind of lauded in that scene. But outside of that, you probably haven't heard about them. So
I'm glad to know you have this secret hidden side of you.
The great thing about this band, though, is that it's kind of picking up the tradition of Bad Brains, you know, so it's like black hardcore. And, you know, one of the things I read about it is that, you know, finally it's a hardcore band with legitimate complaints about the world, you know. I think it's interesting they have a lot of like self-care kind of talk and like talking about therapy and things like that, but it's also just feels dangerous, like old punk probably felt back in the 70s and early 80s. You know, it feels like I don't know what's gonna happen
when we were there.
That's right, back in
the first time around when I was too young.
Well, let's lay this on people.
Yeah, this is Gold Chain Punk from their album Diaspora Problems.
Andrew's pick. Soul Glow is the name of the band.
You know, you mentioned Bad Brains, but they also reminded me of Death Grips, probably a little more contemporary reflection of that.
And a little effed up in there.
Oh, yeah. There's no let up in this band. I listened to the whole record. It's just like every song is like a punch in the face.
You know, as Monty Python used to say, and now for something completely different, our other senior producer, Alex Claiborne. I was having a real hard time, Alex, figuring out the genre here. It's a real mix of styles.
It is a mix of styles, Jim. And, you know, the name of the band that I'm going to play, it's called Coin. The song is called Chapstick. I came across this song and it's not a buried treasure. Like, it has several million streams on Spotify. So I want to be upfront about that. But
I hadn't heard it, though. It was buried to me.
Right. They're a band out of Nashville, formed in 2012, a trio. And the genre kind of mixing and mashing is what I really enjoyed about it the most. I think it has such a driving effervescence to it. I really like that chunky guitar by Joe Memel on that. It's got some elements of synth. There's a little bit of distortion to the vocals. But I think, like I said, what I like most about the song Chapstick is that it is so catchy. And the lyrics are a bit nonsensical, and I'm okay with that. Like, when we get to this time of year, it's getting freezing outside here in Chicago. You need something to sort of lift your spirits up and make you feel like you want to jump around and dance. Like, it's warm outside. Like, it's nice.
All right. Coin from Alex.
I just want to be here, working like an animal. I just want to teach you cling it to less loose control and art to leave.
Those are fun picks, Greg.
They are. What a catchy pop song. What a surprise from Alex. I wasn't expecting a catchy pop song.
So out
yeah,
of
but
character.
It veered.
Alex,
it
our veered. Queen, our queen of pop. Alex
Queen of pop. Yep. It's back to you, Mr. Cott.
It is, Jim. I'm going to go for something completely different. The group I'm going to play is called Medicine Singers, formerly the Eastern Medicine Singers. I am not super familiar with the Native American ritual music scene. This is a band that introduced me to that concept, you know, when you have a powwow. I actually saw this group perform at South by Southwest years ago.
Really?
At that same South by Southwest, this I did not know, they met the guitarist and producer of the Israeli band Monotonix, and I think you and I both saw that band play at least once. I saw them a couple times.
Great,
I thought they were incredible. They would
great
set up
performers
in the middle of the room and play, and you know, here's Monotonix, and the producer in the band, Yonatan Gott, was just mesmerized by Medicine Singers. Completely different sound, vibe, but he loved what they were doing. He thought it was just so moving and so powerful. And they wanted to make music together. And lo and behold, we have Medicine Singers. They became Medicine Singers, the collaboration. The self-titled debut album just came out earlier this year. This album has a bunch of guest artists on it. One of the collaborators, a better-known name, Jamie Branch, died earlier this year. A great multifaceted jazz trumpeter who has played in many, many different genres. Jamie Branch is on this particular track that I'm going to play. It's from the Medicine Singers. It's called Sanctuary on Sound Opinions. That is Sanctuary from Medicine Singers, their debut album, sort of a cross-pollination of Native American music, Israeli punk, jazz, you name it.
Yeah, I was thinking, wow, this is an amalgam of several different strains of world musics with jazz as the connecting cord, and sure enough, the backstory bears that out. I'm continuing with my vinyl extravaganza, Greg, holding them up across the table here to make you jealous of each one. You know, this is a great story. This is a group called Monkey Power Trio, okay? And there's not a lot out there about them. Every year since 1995, this group of friends from different corners of these United States of ours, they get together for 24 hours, and they do not even spend the entire 24 hours. They try to create all or most of an album out of nothing during that time. I love this idea. As you know, I'm a big fan of the Fugs. And, you know, I believe all or most of the first two Fugs albums were recorded at one epic jamboree. And, you know, that's what Monkey Power Trio is doing. So this new album, which is called Cry Mama. So this is years 24, 25, and 26 represented on this album. it's disconnected, it's chaotic, it's shambolic. I hear a little bit of beat happening in this. I hear a little bit of outsider folk artists, and I just love the idea of, I just love that idea. We get together, we create something, we put it out, because it's a really nice vinyl pressing. They clearly care about the results, even though they do not take themselves seriously. They plan to continue this once a year gathering until, quote, the last guy alive has to do a solo album. We make garbage art for our fellow survivors.
Yeah.
I'm down with that. Here's Monkey Power Trio. The new album's called Cry Mama, and this is a song called Turn and See Her.
I will tear you limb from limb.
That's just the way we're going.
You have been spit you out again.
It's the way we're going.
Turn and See Her by the Monkey Power Trio. Any monkey with a typewriter eventually could produce Shakespeare. I guess that's what they're going for.
Well, the tape. I do like the live in the room kind of vibe that you get from that. You feel like you're in this chaotic environment with these people making this music. I'm going to jump over to Cardiff, Wales for Panic Shack, a new band, a co-ed quintet. With a wisecracking singer, Sarah Harvey.
This is the year of wisecracking front women.
Sarah's, you know, that dry, that deadpan humor, the sarcasm, and at the same time, clever lyrics. The song is called The Ick. You know, as Sarah said in this interview that I was reading, that feeling you get when you're dating someone and they do something that really turns you off. No matter how insignificant or trivial, the feeling is irreversible. And it's really not their fault. It's just something that turns you off so... And it could be something incredibly trivial. In this song, it's a... Well, the song, you know, a cuppa. You know, pour me a cuppa. You're going to put that in that cup of coffee? And are you kidding me? You know, and I'm laughing and listening to this song. And I just thought it was hilarious. And I love the humor. I love the offhandedness of it. Yeah. I love the fact that it captures a kind of a universal feeling that you don't... You know, I've never heard a song about that particular moment in a relationship, but I think everybody has a story
this. Right? You look inside the cup and it's like, my God, what century did you last wash this? Right?
Yeah, that's right.
You don't want to be
it's
rude.
It's the ick. It's right, the ick. It's the ick from Panic Shack on Sound Opinion.
But then one morning, you made me a cuppa. You basically handed me the hammer, practically placed the nail onto the wood, smashed that nail firmly into the coffin when you put the milk in first. You put the milk in first. I didn't think anyone actually put the milk in first. You put me off, mate. Gave me the ick. We were texting for a bit. Then we went on a date.
That is The Ick from Panic Shack, their debut EP, Baby Shack. If you like that song, there's like four or five more on that record. They're of similar ilk. I think they're just a fun band.
Well, they've really got that angular punk thing down. If you weren't paying attention to the lyrics, you'd think, oh, this is like 90s Chicago post-rock, and it's cool stuff. My last pick for this batch of buried treasures, Greg, is a great instrumental record out of Portland. Kevin O'Connor records as Talk Demonic. Kevin O'Connor is a master at crafting these loping soundscapes that evolve, that have ambient lulling moments and then explosions of great dynamics. Not surprisingly, as I read up on it, Kevin, he's been doing soundtracks for the last couple of years.
And
there
totally
are
makes sense.
Several Talk Demonic albums. I'm telling you, I know we have a few dedicated music supervisors listen to our show, especially the Buried Treasures. There is a wealth of great music on this album for those of you in that profession to choose for soundtracks. You know, analog keyboards, those wonderful synths, this warm bass sound, these looping drum beats. I just love this record. I think it's really enticing, you know, and mysterious as well. I get this little note from Kevin in dramatic contrast to Katie Kim, who wrote me an epistle. Just enjoy the new album, Jim. Thank you, Kevin. I did. This is a song called Barely Dawn that opens this new album, Various Seasides from Talk Demonic. I think they may be based in Brooklyn now. Man, I love that. Just let me float away on that analog ocean.
I enjoyed that as well, kind of building to those high points and then receding back.
Yeah.
You're on a little journey.
Talk Demonic. Yeah. Stream it now. But that wraps up our buried treasures for this episode. And as always, we want to hear from you. What's a song or album you think deserves more attention? Leave us a voice message on our website, soundopinions.org, with your pick and why. Next up, we talk to a formerly buried treasure that I think they're breaking big, Alicia Gaines of Ganser on Sound Opinions. Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported those parents back to their home countries, and kept the kids in the United States? Believe it or not, 6 years later, there are still hundreds of families who have not yet been reunited.
Though we as a community may feel hopeless at times, we recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice.
Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families ripped apart by the zero-tolerance policy of the previous administration. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family find legal representation, housing, and the counseling they need in order to heal and get back on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like us and believe that all families belong together, then join us supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. That's gum.fm/charity.
You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website, elotrolado.org/volunteer.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. We've talked to a lot of people about their experiences writing music during the pandemic, but nothing quite like this. We are talking with Alicia Gaines of Ganser.
Ganser, Greg, is a project started by Alicia Gaines and Nadia Garofalo in Chicago, who were later joined by guitarist Charlie Landsman. How he came to be in the band is really interesting, too. And lastly, Brian Cundiff, who also came into the band in a non-traditional way. We've been wanting to have Ganser on the show for a very long time. We think they're one of the most important up-and-coming bands from Chicago, about to break worldwide. And the pandemic kept shutting down every attempt we made to try to have them in for a live session. But, you know, it's like, why wait anymore? We needed to talk to Alicia Now, about Ganser, about the latest release, Nothing You Do Matters. Alicia, let's start at the beginning for people who don't know the story. You and Nadia met at where? School of the Art Institute, is that right?
Yep, we both went to SAIC.
Excellent. What made you decide, because the visuals are a huge part of the whole Ganser identity. What made you decide to begin making music?
I think for us, we've always been big music fans, but it was always the goal from the beginning that any project that we started would have more to it than that. We would bring in the visuals and bring in what we were doing in terms of design and in terms of working with film. For us, thinking back to that time in our 20s, we were working kind of low-level creative jobs, and there was a lot of executing creative work, but not necessarily making the decisions. And so for us, I think it really served as kind of like an outlet, if that makes sense. Like our way to kind of make a world where we can do whatever we want.
Yeah. So that was 2014. And it was initially just you and Nadia as a duo. How did it expand to a full band?
It started out as a duo. And originally we had a guitarist named May that was with us for a while. And it was so funny. We were playing at Double Door. Remember Double Door here in Chicago. And we were playing with a drum machine at the time, and Brian, Ganser's current drummer, just happened to be in the audience watching us play with a drum set with no one on it behind us, waiting for the next band.
Said, hey, I could do that.
Exactly. So he contacted us asking, if you ever need a drummer, and just happened to be that we did need one. So that's how we found him. And then Charlie, get this, Craigslist find. And it was so funny because when he walked in the door, he was 21 years old. And our first question was, how old are you? Because we had to make sure that he was old enough to get into venues.
Yeah. It's not going to do us any good if we can't play anywhere.
Exactly.
Thought you'd be more. Thought you'd be okay. Hell of a day, kid. Hell of a day. Well, drink up, Sonny. Drink it all up. Drink up, Sonny. You should be so lucky.
So you and Nadia are both brilliant people. I think Nadia was going to go into art therapy, and you were in researching semiotics in the sociology world. That's where the name comes from, right? What is the Ganser syndrome?
Ganser syndrome has kind of gone back and forth. Some people say that it's kind of psychosomatic or made up, and some folks think it's it's real. It's kind of a blanket terminology. The way that I describe it is, if you've seen a war movie and after a big battle, there's a person who's talking to themselves in a corner, kind of that echolalia, that's what used to be called Ganser syndrome, named after the doctor that discovered it and coined it. So I just kind of liked the idea of, really when you're writing music, you are just kind of talking to yourself.
Yeah.
So it's kind of grown for us to mean kind of our kind of collective unconscious, if that makes sense. We throw a lot of lyrics kind of in a hat. We have documents set up online where people can add maybe something funny they overheard at a party. Throw it in there. Did you see a really interesting line on an ad for a lawyer on the bus? Throw it in there. that's kind of how it works for us.
I'm curious, how has the music evolved? Because the band has been pretty prolific, a lot of recordings since 2014, certainly. And it seemed like the aesthetic was there in place pretty much from the start. So was there sort of a discussion about that, or it was just kind of like, let's see what happens when we, I'm talking about specifically when you and Nadia started making music together. Was there sort of a conversation, or you just started improvising, or how did that work?
That's a great question. We actually, we exchanged during the winter storm of 2014 some iPods, and we didn't tell each other what we were going to put on the iPods that we gave each other. And we found what we had in common. That's kind of always how it's worked in terms of our writing process as well between the four of us, is that I kind of see us as a Venn diagram with some overlap. But when we exchanged those iPods, it was really interesting to find that we had things in common, like maybe a little bit of Britpop, maybe a little bit of some classic post-punk, a little bit of some Chicago music like Jesus Lizard, things like that. Peter Gabriel is a big interest over here. And I think that that's a great way to kind of keep yourself moving and keep the Target Moving is it's really been about the shared interests of the four of us and where we kind of overlap at different points. And it's evolved naturally kind of as we've evolved as people.
You started this out as sort of a creative outlet for you and Nadia. And I'm wondering if the goal shifted since you started the band. You still kind of view it as that, oh, here's our creative thing. Meanwhile, we have these other jobs, but we're doing this thing for fun. Has that shifted at all in your mind?
I think it's become more serious. You know, as we've continued to kind of grow, it's become more clear what Ganser looks like and what Ganser feels like. And I think that expresses itself maybe the most clearly to me is when we're coming up with music video concepts. Normally starts out as like a joke in the room. We have a music video recently where we're burying Nadia alive as she sings the vocals. And honestly, that was just just a funny picture in my head. You know, I could see the shot of like focusing on her face as she's singing lyrics as we're burying her and just how that would tie in really in a funny way with the lyrics. I think comedy is something that we bond over a lot, but we've been taking it increasingly seriously. The sillier that it has gotten, the more absurd it has gotten. We take our nonsense very seriously.
And that comes up in a lot of your interviews, the importance of taking yourself seriously, but never taking yourselves without a sense of humor.
I think you kind of have to. If you're gripping too hard onto reality, I think you kind of lose that levity that's so important.
Really big question, Alicia. Ganser is a mixed gender, mixed race band and is vocal about inclusiveness. It is always heartbreaking to me. I don't know, it shouldn't surprise me anymore. You know, that the alternative indie underground used to mean a sense of community and shared values. You know, everybody in the band's had to be out front and outspoken to fight for that inclusiveness still in 2022. Why?
We find ourselves, you're right, we find ourselves the only ones in the room a lot of the time. It's very rare that we get to share stages, let's say, with other Black people. It's pretty rare. And even sometimes other women, that's pretty rare as well. I think it all boils down to who you know. And for a lot of the bands that we would aim to tour with, if you think about who their friend group is going to look like, who they would ask first, it tends to be people that look like them. And I think it's just something that everyone needs to be constantly reminded of, because I get it. When I was a young music fan going to concerts, I didn't think about the demographics of the bands that were on stage. That didn't even enter into my mind. I was thinking about how diverse is the audience? How diverse is that side of things? But when you really get into it, I think it's really rare for us to play rooms where we kind of see that reflected. I'm reminded of, we just played a show with Amel and the Sniffers and Bob Villain. And it was really interesting because we were watching side stage, Amy from Amel and I watching Bob Villain. And he was talking about having some difficulty when they were touring in the South and some interactions with the audience that were pretty choice. And I leaned over to her and said, have you had some trouble on the road? You know, have you had problems with audiences? And she said, yeah. And I'm like, I get it. But that's a really rare bill. That felt really good, though. So I think I'm just aiming to steer us more in that direction, because when you're the only one there, everything becomes on your shoulders. You are the example of that. And sometimes it expresses itself in terms of like dudes approaching the merch table, telling us how we should be playing, which is... Still today,
the infamous story we've heard Greg and I so many times: woman walking in with a guitar case, a bass case, and it's like, oh, are you with the band?
Oh yeah,
you know, it's like, hey, I am the band. Yeah, F you.
Yeah, we've had that a lot, and so
how can that still exist? Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully, like, you know, the guys in the band, they really understand. And unfortunately, we've had to come up with strategies of how to kind of nip that in the butt a bit. So like for us, what that means is, like, for example, Nadia or myself or the combination of the two of us lead soundcheck. Like, we have to establish those kind of norms early in the process before doors are even open to just make sure that that relationship with that venue starts off on the right foot for the night, you know? It's those kind of things that we're constantly running into. And I can't speak to what it looks like in another place where I'm not in currently, but when we're looking at support tours or being submitted for them, I imagine we are probably the odd one out. If there's a choice of five bands, we're probably the one that doesn't look like the rest of them. So in some ways you think that would be a perk. That hasn't been the case.
In an artistic field, you think you'd want to be set apart and you would want to be distinctive, if only for that reason, which is weird that it's depressing to hear the stories about conformity being the way and homogeneity being important. You know, you wrote that piece for Louder a few years ago. It might have been in that piece, but I've heard interviews with you where you've talked about this idea that your dad was telling you the work twice as hard to get half as far. You know, so you carry that around with you, and it's got to make being in a band not fun sometimes, right? I mean, do we want to keep struggling like this? Like a piece like in Louder, do you get feedback on something like that when you express exactly what you're going through as a woman of color on the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like pushing the rock up the hill all the time, or do you feel like some progress is being made?
I think the progress is very slow and incremental. Also, I would say if we weren't dealing with this in the band, I know from experience I'd be dealing with this in a day job. You know, it's going to exist regardless of where we are. And I'd rather be making music, so we'll deal with it in this sphere. It's kind of inescapable. It's kind of like, you know, how do you want your poison served in that way? But, you know, our music is, if it's political, it's only political because everything is political. And it's not particularly about race, but there are some lyrics that, you know, kind of touch on those things. I think for me, the thing that's maybe the biggest disappointment about the state of things is that I would love for us just to be making the music and not having to think about a lot of these things, because, you know, our music is a lot about your inner headspace, about reacting to what's going on in the world and how that reflects on your individual person. And so it's frustrating when that inner sphere meets the outside world. You know, I think that's where the tension is.
The 2020 record, Just Look at That Sky. What a great record that was. I felt bad for you guys because they're putting this out right, you know, the timing couldn't have been worse in terms of what was going on. 2-year pandemic, which kept tons of bands off the road. How did you sort of deal with that? Did you feel like you'd made this really great record that wasn't really going to get properly
heard? It seemed
heard?
Like that was Ganser's moment. The world is primed for Ganser, and then the world shuts down. I ran into the band as they were hauling their gear back in after an early morning radio taping, I think, right,
mm-hmm.
Alicia?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're all standing there in the cold on Superior Street outside the rehearsal space warehouse wearing masks. You know, I was so excited about just Look at the Sky, and we can't even like shake hands and we're 6 feet apart. Oh, it was heartbreaking. Do you feel like a window was open and closed?
No, I think the window changed. Going back, we were supposed to go to South by Southwest in 2020. And we had just crossed the threshold of buying a van. And we had 2 support tours lined up, our very first support tours. And everything shut down. You know, in some ways, I think that we're very fortunate in that we had a record in the can. And we had mm-hmm. vinyl already in production. So we avoided, for a while, some of the things that became bigger issues later on with people that were trying to make music during the pandemic. I think the strange thing for me, and it's funny, I was just looking through some new material, and there's a line that's like, who knew the end of the world would be my time to shine? And that's kind of how it felt. For us, you know, before the pandemic wasn't great either. I mean, that record was made in 2019. You know, we weren't having the best time already. Mm. And I think there's that saying that particularly anxious people or, you know, depressed people are really good in emergencies. You know, that movie Melancholia is kind of entirely about that concept. And I think the strangest thing on my end was that growing up with the internet and looking at my favorite bands and looking at how they dealt with the internet earlier on when I was, you know, in middle school and high school, it strangely fit to just suddenly have a space where we were just putting out our thoughts online, you know, on Twitter or whatever, and connecting with other bands. And it was in a way that we never really would have were we traveling, if that makes sense. So rather than being next to bands that you just happen to be next to because of geography, instead you're connecting to other bands that also really love, I don't know, John Waters. You know what I mean? It's a different way to connect with people. And I think that was the major shift for us, was that once we started just hanging out, because honestly, we were all in our homes, we were all going through very different situations. You know, some of us were work from home. I was in that camp. Some of us were essential workers. Charlie works at a restaurant, and you can imagine the journey that he's had. And Nadia works in film and TV. You can imagine the journey that she's had. We were in a place where we were desperately trying to keep our own personal lives together, but at the same time, really meeting people who had the same niche interests as us. That's how we met a lot of our future collaborators. So it's really bittersweet, you know? Who knows what would have happened if everything had been normal, but in terms of a record, that's the least of my concern, you know?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. Instead of building the community by going city to city in the van, you're having to do it online, but it's still about community.
No one is asking, everyone's taking.
Nothing You Do Matters. It's a three-song recording that you guys just put out. People watching. No one is asking, everyone's taking. A little bit of a commentary there. Anything particular spur that on, that emotion, that lyric?
You know, I think the name People Watching had been kind of in our hopper for a while. We have, in addition to the document that has lines overheard at parties, we have another document that's just spare titles. And so sometimes inspiration does come from that. And I know that when we work on lyrics, you know, sometimes it's collaborative. That one was Nadia, I believe, the entire way through. I think that that's been the most interesting part, is that we've been so apart from each other, that we've had very different experiences of the pandemic. But obviously that feeling's in the air. I think everybody can relate to that. When I saw it for the first time, I was like, yep, that is absolutely a feeling that's hitting really hard right now. And likewise, you know, What Me Worry, I think I just saw that Mad Magazine graphic somewhere out in the world.
Alfred E. Newman.
Yep. And for me personally, when the pandemic hit, I packed up a weekend bag, because I lived in a pretty crowded Chicago apartment building by myself with no outdoor space. And I called my partner, Brian, the drummer. So there's also a relationship in this band. I called him up and said, you know, hon, am I going to yours or are you coming to mine? Because this seems to be getting serious. And so I went with a weekender bag and went up to Evanston. And I wound up staying there for 2 years. So you can imagine that, you know, moving all my things into storage eventually and all of that, it really brought on a lot of very trying customer service phone calls. So, you know, that's what that one is kind of, that's where that one started from, was when did I agree to this contract? When did I agree to this?
Well, it's fascinating, Alicia, how many reviews call Ganser a political band. And I don't know if it's because of things you've written and how outspoken everybody in the band is about equity, you know, period, for women, for people of color, or if, you know, especially to hear you talk about that Google Doc and found phrases, right? But it's more like, you know, the band has this sort of open conduit to these times, and you're capturing the zeitgeist. We just reviewed the Brian Eno album, right? You know, and I love Brian Eno. There's a fair amount of the Eno pop influence, the first four albums in Ganzer, I think, in terms of, you know, the way lyrics are written and the arrangements and the rhythms. But this album, it's like, wow, I didn't expect it. Brian Eno lecturing us over boring music about the world melting. And not nearly as effective as the way part of it is stuff that everybody in the band is writing, and part of it is these found phrases. And in some ways, you're making more coherent statements about our times than somebody who's sitting down to make a record, a heavy record about these times.
Yeah, I think, you know, by nature of our songwriting process, no song is going to be strictly like a personal story, you know, like maybe like in a more traditional like country vein, even though, you know, there's like, we love Dolly Parton in this band, but that's just not how it's going to shake out here. On the other side, I think most of our lyrics are about, it's more about your thinking process and how you approach a situation or your reaction to a situation than it is necessarily my opinion or X, Y, or Z, you know, even just outside of politics. Like, it's mostly going to be about thinking on your thinking.
Well, we're fans. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What a great conversation with Alicia. In fact, it was so much fun. We have even more for you. Stay tuned for a future bonus podcast episode where we talk with Alicia about her acumen as a music critic, the Smashing Pumpkins, and more. Greg, what do we have on the show next week?
Next week, Jim, one of our favorite artists of recent vintage, Margot Price, is going to be on the show. We're going to be talking to her about her memoir, which I think is exceptional among the music memoirs that I have read recently.
A great read.
One of these days, you're going to wake up older with a hole in your pocket and a blade on your shoulder. Well, if you break both your legs, oh, don't come running to me. I've had a change of heart.
And don't forget to check out our bonus podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this program belong solely to Sound Opinions and not necessarily to Columbia College Chicago or our sponsors. Thanks, as always, to our Patreon supporters. Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, and our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo. Our Columbia College intern is Lauren Holt, and our social media consultant is Katie Cott.